Thank you for joining me in today's broadcast of The Love Way. Today I'm going to be sharing about walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh. So many times we don't understand what it is to walk in the Spirit, what it really means when we are walking in the flesh. So many times we think that if we do something wrong, we walk in the flesh. Like, you know, if we read Romans chapter 8 verse 1, it says that there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And then we think that if we commit sin or do something wrong, we are in the flesh. And that means there's actually condemnation for me because I have not obeyed the Spirit and done what the Spirit told me to do. And He speaks through His Word, obviously, and what the Bible says I must do, that I must do. And that way of thinking concerning the Scriptures brings condemnation into the lives of believers. And a believer is not supposed to have a life of condemnation, but a life of peace and of joy. The Bible says the kingdom of God is in righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that, if we can start to understand what it means to be in the Spirit, what righteousness, peace and joy in the Spirit is, we will have such a powerful force that will drive our lives that we will live guilt-free living and we will live by the power of God. You must remember that we have been made by God to live guilt-free, condemnation-free. When God made Adam, He made him without any needs. He didn't have any feeling of guilt whatsoever. And that was the perfect state in which God made him to rule. So if we've got needs and if we've got condemnation and all those type of negative emotions in our being, how will we make good decisions? How will we rule in this planet? And that's why Jesus Christ came, so that we can have a guilt, condemnation-free living. And once we start to live like that, our decision-making will be made out of the basis of acceptance, holiness, being pure, being righteous, being in the image of God. If we know that everything has been given unto us, just the same way in which Adam knew that, the decisions we make will be good, godly decisions. The environment that God makes for the believer is an environment of peace, righteousness and joy in the Holy Spirit. Don't think you'll have that in your deeds. You'll never have that in your deeds. That's why we must know what it means to be in the Spirit and what it means to be in the flesh. Now I want to actually start at the end of this session by saying, I want to start at the conclusion so that we can understand the Scriptures that I'm going to read. Being in the flesh is seeking to be justified by the works of the law. Being in the flesh is seeking to be justified by the works of the law. We must also make we must distinguish between what the law is and what commandments are. The law is the mentality of that says, by what I do, I'll be blessed, and by what I'll do, I'll be cursed. By what I do, I'll get the approval of God, and by what I do, I can be disapproved if it's something wrong. The law says that if you obey, if you do right, you'll be blessed. And if you don't do right, you will be cursed. Let's just read that quickly in Deuteronomy 28. And it is, like so many people said, every promise of God has got a condition. Now that is the law mentality, that every promise has got a condition, every blessing has got a condition. That is the mentality which is called the law. And then the conditions that must be met is called the commandments. In other words, we will say you are under the law, under the mentality that says by what I do, I am, I'll become, or I'll please God, or I'll receive. And then the commandments are, for instance, you must honor the Lord your God. You must honor your parents. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and all your strength. You must not have any false gods before Him. You should not, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not, and all those type of things. So those are the commandments under the mentality. The mentality says, by what I do. And then the things that you must do, that is called the commandments. So I've seen in my Christian walk, I've met so many believers. I've preached in a couple of countries. I've preached in a couple of churches. I've done evangelism. And I've seen in my walk that, man, I don't want to put a percentage to it, but most believers are still under the law, but they've just changed the commandments. It's not the commandment that said you must be dressed correctly and you must do the things, you know, like the Jewish people. You must put the things around your head that you're supposed to. You must get dressed in the right way. You're not supposed to eat unleavened bread at certain times. And all those laws that there was, which actually the correct word is commandments. We've changed the commandments and said we don't do those things anymore. But we've got nice, wonderful New Testament, what we call New Testament commandments. Thou shalt not, and thou shalt not touch, thou shalt not handle. Please don't do this. If you do this, God cannot bless you. If you do that, God cannot bless you. And if you do these two things, then the heavens will open and then God will bless you. We start to walk by that, and then we serve those commandments and do those commandments even in the name of Jesus. And I just believe that is the epitome of deception. That is what God warned us against. Jesus Christ said, be careful for the leaven of the Pharisees. And leaven is a teaching. And the leaven was mixed into the dough so that they could bake bread or, you know, whatever they would bake, they would mix some leaven into that. So what Jesus warned his disciples against is don't mix the teaching of the Pharisees, which was the law. Because the Bible said they were sitting in Moses' seat. They were preaching the law with its commandments. So it doesn't help, we are still under the law, but we've just changed the commandments. That is what I call being in the flesh. Being in the flesh is, the flesh again, being in the flesh, there's two categories of that. The one person just saying, I refuse to believe in God whatsoever. And the other one says, I do believe that Jesus died for me. I am a Christian and I'm going to be perfected and be pleasing to God. And I'm going to receive a big ministry from God. I'm going to receive a house from God. I'm going to receive wealth and health from God by these things I'm going to do. And I'm going to obey these things. I'm going to go through the suffering and the pruning of God. I'm going to go through these things, and by doing these things, God's going to bless me. Like, for instance, and maybe I step on some toes today, but please hear what I'm trying to say. I'm going to walk around the town three times in prayer, and then God's going to bless me. Man, that is just a law mentality again. By what I do, and the commandment changed, it's not like the Old Testament commandments again, but now it is if I walk around the town. And so, there are so many things that I am actually a bit scared to mention, because it's like the new wine will just burst the wineskin. Just listen to what I want to say, and you, I believe that the Holy Spirit will convince you and convict you of this truth. Now, let's just quickly touch on Deuteronomy 28. And we're going to read from verse 1. Listen to this. It says, and it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you, if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Now what he says here is that the voice of the Lord his God was certain commandments. And if you would do that, then these blessings would come. And if you read verse 15, it says, if it shall come to pass, if you don't hearken, that these curses shall come upon you. So let's be careful of that. And let's understand that there are what I call these days New Testament commandments in the name of Jesus, which are actually killing us and actually bringing so much frustration in the church that we struggle to serve God and really, in serving Jesus, still have some emptiness and a sin consciousness. We're not supposed to walk in sin consciousness. Let me just read Galatians chapter 3 and just explain this further. It says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? Now listen to what he says here. He says, did you receive the Spirit, which is the gift of God, which is the nature of God, which is the ability of God, which is the heart of God, which is God Himself? He says, did you receive that into you by the works of the law? In other words, by obeying the commandments under the mentality of by what I do, I'm going to be blessed? Or have you received this by the hearing of faith? Hearing the good news that everything has been given to you by Jesus, that He became a man on behalf of man, did everything, and is seated at the right hand of the Father on behalf of man, and what He is and who He is today, we receive it freely by just believing it. Did you receive the Spirit by which one of these two? And then the answer is obvious. They received the Spirit by the hearing of faith. Now listen to what he says and the comparison he makes between the works of the law and the flesh, and the Spirit and the hearing of faith. He says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Now how did they begin? How did they receive the Spirit? By believing, by hearing the word. Okay, the word of faith. Then it says, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Now remember what he said. He said in verse 2 that you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. You began in the Spirit by believing. Why do you want to be perfected by the works of the law now or the flesh? So, if we look at the New Testament, we will see that the flesh is actually speaking about being seeking to be justified by the works of the law. The way it worked in the Old Testament was people were circumcised, and after circumcision, then the commandments were given unto them, and then they had to obey the commandments. So they took their bodies, their flesh, their body, their human body, and served a holy law with a human body, seeking to be blessed by that. And that's called being justified by the flesh. Being justified by the Spirit or Jesus Christ is believing on Jesus. Now, I want to touch on something quickly here in Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to read verse 19. And this will start to make sense to you. It says, verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now remember what I said about the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. So he directly connects the law with the flesh, people seeking to be justified by the law. He says, now the works of the flesh, the works that comes up in a human being seeking to be justified by what he does are manifest, which are, and man, there are some big words here. It says, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, everything evil, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now, he says the fruit of trying to be justified by using your own effort to serve God, to be blessed. And remember, what I said, today we've got this thing in the church, we are trying to serve the commandments Jesus gave in the New Testament, like, if they hit you on the one side of the face, turn the other one. If they steal this, give more. In all those type of things. And we're serving that because Jesus said it, and if we want to be like God, we should do those things, and then God's going to bless us. And we'll be well pleasing to Him, and then we will be called children of God, and then we'll be children of God. Now, that is not the truth. Now, let me put it this way. Cognitively, a lot of people don't serve God that way. But out of the heart we live, and the heart is the subconscious mind. That's what, when I counsel people, that is what most people struggle with. In their subconscious mind, they feel they have not been qualified by God. They feel that there's still something more. There's something they need to get from God. And I just answered him this way. I said, man, he gave his son. He gave the whole Old Testament and everything that happened there, the prophetic word, the temple speaking about Jesus. Then he gave his son. He removed your sins. Then he gave you righteousness and he gave you the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said, it is my will to give you the kingdom. He says, all authority has been given to Jesus. That means we are in him, a human being. It has been given unto us through Jesus Christ. I mean, what more do you want? Are you at least using what is given unto you? So poverty is a consciousness of what you don't have and not a consciousness of what you do have. And I believe that we are supposed to walk in prosperity. That means in a consciousness of what we do have in the spirit and in the physical. And if we walk in a consciousness of what we do have in the spirit, but in a consciousness of what we don't have in the physical world, we will put a question mark over what happened in the spirit. So take your eyes off what you don't have in the physical and put your eyes on what you do have, and you will see how you received that by grace, and see that will complement what you have already received freely in Jesus Christ, and vice versa. So let's look at it that way and walk in the blessing of God. Now remember, everything has been given unto us. Why is there a need? Why is there a hunger and a thirst? The moment there's a hunger and a thirst, we will want to do something to get more from God. And that's not what God says the way, that's not the way He says it's supposed to be. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? He gave us good news. So remember, the more you seek to be justified by what you do, the more your sinful nature will bring forth sin because you are under the law, the mentality of do's and don'ts. Now let's quickly turn to Galatians 5 verses 23. It says here, but the fruit of the Spirit, being in the Spirit, being believing what Jesus has done and yielding your life to the good news of Jesus by believing on it with every fiber of your being, what does it bring forth? It brings forth love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. Isn't that wonderful? Let's quickly go to Romans chapter 7. It says here, from verse 1, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as what he lives. For a woman which has a husband is bound to the law to her husband so long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she's no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. So the only way in which we can bring forth fruit unto God is by being released from the law. Now what it says here is, if the husband dies, the woman are free from the covenant or the law that she was under, and she could be married to another. So what it says here is that the law has been fulfilled. The mentality that says we are not justified by what we do with its commandments has been fulfilled, so that we now can be married to another. Remember, the law worked certain things in you. We're going to see that right now in verse 5. In the same way, righteousness or the Spirit will work things in you. The law was bearing fruit in you. Let's read verse 5. What the law was bringing forth. Because the fruit of the law was not good. The recipient of the law seed brings forth death, but the recipient, which is you, of the good news seed will bring forth fruit unto God. And that's why this Romans 7 was written in Romans 8. Verse 5, for when you were in the flesh, the motions of sin, the passions of sin. Another word for motion is passions. Let me read it that way. It's just more powerful. But when you were in the flesh, in other words, when you were seeking to be justified by the works of the law, the motions of sin, the passions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. So, fruit unto death, we read it in Galatians chapter 5 verses 19. Murder, drunkenness, outbursts of wrath, and all those bad things comes forth how? Verse 5 in Romans 7 explains it. Let's just read it again. For when you were in the flesh, when you were seeking to be justified by the law, let me just repeat myself in saying it this way. When you get saved, I want to put it into New Testament terms or relevant for today. When you got born again, you believe in Jesus, but you are still under a law mentality. A do's and don'ts mentality, but you've given yourself new commandments. The passions of sin, which is by that very way you think, did work in you and is working in your members to bring forth fruit unto death. Now man, I just can't say it any louder than that. Please just listen to that and be blessed. Because this might be the thing that you needed to hear to get rid of that anger problem, to get rid of that bad attitude, to get rid of that lust problem, to get out of that pornography, to get out of that hatred and that unforgiveness and all those type of things. Because so many times that is because you are seeking to please God by your own body, trying to, man, I'm going to just do this thing. Let me just read in Colossians quickly, which is just a practical example of that. Colossians chapter 2, we're going to read here from verse 20. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments or the basic principles or the commandments of this world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Let's just see what ordinances mean there. It means basic principles or rules. Let me read it again. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the basic principles of this world, why, as though living in the world or in your flesh, through your flesh, are you subject to rules? Touch not, taste not, handle not. Which are to perish with the using after the commandments. Remember what I said, commandments and doctrines of men. Now what he said is, the commandments was fulfilled. There's a new commandment, believe on Jesus. 1 John chapter 3 verses 22 and 23. This is the commandment, to believe on Him and to love as He gave commandment, meaning to believe on Him. Right. So it says, why this commandments that are afterwards, after the law was fulfilled, is man-made commandments. It says, which are to perish with the using after the commandments and the doctrines of men. Listen to verse 23. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom, it looks wonderful, in world worship. It's a world worship thing. It looks very wise. It looks so, man. Just like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil's fruit, it was desirable to make one wise. And neglect of the body, not in any honor to satisfying of the flesh. It means it cannot kill the passion of the flesh that brings forth sin. That's what he says. The rules of touch not, taste not, handle not, which are actually man-made rules that says if you do these things, then God will bless you. It's got a show of wisdom, but it's got no power to get sin out of your life. Only the good news of Jesus has got that. Hallelujah. Man, we're running out of time. And I think we're going to do another session on this, because this is powerful and we need to get this into the lives of people. But now we've got to pray together and just get this thing right into our hearts, right into our minds, where we're going to say, Lord, give me an enlightened mind that I might see the things that you freely given unto me, so that I will stop to try and be justified by the works of my flesh. Like the one man said to me, now Bertie, what should we do then? You know what you can go and do? Go and tell this good news to others. That's what Jesus says, go and preach the gospel. Preach this good news to others. Don't try and do anything to please the Father. You are pleasing unto Him. Go and win others. Let's just pray together. Father, I thank You that we can bless people today with this good news. And I thank You they will be satisfied by what they've heard. And this will bless them into their innermost being, above comprehension, above what they could ever think. Your blessing indwells them. It gives them peace. It gives them righteousness and joy. And I just speak over every sick person that there is. I rebuke cancer. I rebuke death in Jesus' mighty name. I speak the word of God. The power of God is upon you. You are healed. Stand up where you are right now. Receive redemption from your pain and healing for your whole body, and be blessed. Amen.